Cool, thanks. Like our Facebook and follow us on Twitter and do all the Patreon.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our returning guest is Nathan Gerber. He's here to talk with us about Amazon Prime's new series, The Boys.
We're geeks without God.
Hi, welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
I'm Molly Glover, ruff ruff.
And Tim Wick.
Grimdark.
And we are recording in the Deepwood Mott Living Room Studios because, as we mentioned in last week's episode, I'm on call and could get paged away at any time. So you may hear an adorable dog or some obnoxious asshole cats. Our guest this week is returning friend of the show, Nathan Gerber.
I'm Nate Man.
I was just being a funny dog making because I was looking at peaches.
Yeah.
And I realized that if I said I'm peaches, that wouldn't make any sense to anybody.
So. And Nate is here because we're going to talk about The Boys.
The Boys.
The Boys.
The Amazon series that is based on the Garth Ennis Dynamite comic. I think Dynamite's the publisher.
It started in Wildstorm and ended with Dynamite.
Yeah.
Who runs the world? Boys. Oh, sad. I made myself sad.
We're going to spoil the first season of Boys. And Nate and I have read all the comics, but we're going to do our damnedest not to say things that happen in the comics that would happen sequentially after the first season of the show.
Which is kind of rough, because the first season of the show gets, like, at least halfway through the comics.
The first episode of the show is the first trade.
Yeah.
Basically. Mm-hmm. So it really jumps forward really fast, which works to its benefit, because the comics, the first three trades are pretty fucking rough. If you haven't watched any of The Boys yet, it's on Amazon Prime. It's only 8 episodes, and it's pretty fucking solid. It's, shit, I forgot his name already. The actor that plays Butcher, who is...
Carl Urban!
Everyone's favorite Judge Dredd.
Being so Carl
He's
Urban.
He's my favorite
so
Bones.
so yeah, we're going to spoil it.
He is a good
it.
Bones.
He's a great, yeah. He's a great Bones, because he's curmudgeonly.
Is it Amir? I get all the Lord of the Rings names.
Is he one of the dwarves?
No.
No, he's one of the he's the like the leader of the Riders of Rohan.
Yeah.
He's the
Horse Lord.
Those of men.
Yeah. So the boys
but do not trust a hope. It has forsaken these lands.
So the boys
he was awesome, shut up. All right.
The boys is it's superhero satire.
Mm. Parody, satire, cynicism?
Big time cynicism. The comic was kind of in response to the early aughts Cape comic expansion where kind of that post-Chris Claremont X-Men, lots and lots of superheroes, and everyone had started to make their heroes have more pathos, but it was so kind of diluted by the amount of the comics being put out. Like, everyone was being edgy, and so he out-edgied them in satire.
Yeah, Garth Ennis went for broke in this one.
For sure.
He went to out-violence.
Yes.
A lot of existing violent comics, and also put in a lot of sex, rape, racism, not as in he was being racist,
There's racism in the comics.
There's bad characters who are doing racist things, just like in Preacher.
There's good characters who are super fucking homophobic.
Yeah. Right.
But a lot of homophobia.
A lot
of homophobia.
Preacher's very similar. Jesus there's Christ. Like in Preacher, there's lots, like, which is another Garth Ennis book.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In Preacher, there's a lot of, like, it's very edgy, and it's very 90s, you know, like, mm-hmm. you're reading it, and you're like, oh, yeah, I bet at the time there were, you know, I remember being a teenager and reading this and being like, yeah, someone's finally saying it.
Right.
You know, like,
and that's actually a really important point, just the Garth Ennis thing isn't for everyone, specifically the comic book for the boys.
Oof.
If you don't like rape as a plot point, don't pick up the comic.
Yeah. Well,
at all.
That said, the show takes a lot of the, like, it sands down a lot of the really rough edges from the comic. Mm-hmm.
So,
what I, yeah.
Starlight is kind of our, the character by which we view the Seven, which are basically the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And she's the hero from the Midwest who's joining up with the Seven. And
after an audition process,
right,
or whatever, and she gets the part.
And both in the comic and in the show, she, part of her joining the Seven, she is sexually assaulted. The comic plays this off a lot less serious than the show. In the show, there's consequence. It's treated as an awful thing that happens.
She's coerced into giving a blowjob. I want to make sure we're making clear. She's not, mm-hmm, she's not violently raped in the show. I'm not, like, making it shades of anything, but I just want, mm-hmm, you to know, as your trigger warning,
right,
if you're okay with blowjob coercion, but
right,
not with someone being, like, thrown down and, like, screaming no, and, like, there's a difference,
yeah,
for
but,
people who can, what
so
they can and can't watch.
In the comic, I mean, it's several of the members of the Seven.
Yeah.
And they are people who are so incredibly powerful that they could,
sure,
you know, rip her apart.
So are we talking,
like,
about the show or the comic?
The
I just
show.
Want to make
the
sure. Because, like, I feel like we're only talking about the comic,
that's
and
fair.
I don't know
that's
anything
fair.
About it. So,
yeah.
So
we're just, I'm giving the warning, that trigger warning on the comic.
Right.
Because it,
sure,
like, even the brief reread I did before doing this, I was like, oh, that, this is uncomfortable. This is making,
yeah,
me feel uncomfortable.
And there's stuff like that in
again.
The show, too. But I feel like what's in the show is more, I mean, palatable is a bad word, but that's kind of where I'm going.
It's a wonderful adaptation, and it's very well updated.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the
Aquaman of the group in the show, the Aquaman of the group,
the deep,
the deep,
who is a fucking prick, and
such
very
a prick.
And also, yeah, this is the thing I love about the boys, is that each of the characters, especially of the Seven, are revealed to have these incredibly deep insecurities. None of them believe that they are all worried about their place. They're all very paranoid, and as a result, the deep, because of that, decides that he's going to use the little bit of power he has to coerce the new girl into blowing him so that she'll stay, you know,
right,
to, like, and kind of like a hazing ritual thing, which she does. And,
yep,
like, again, I think that also makes the Starlight character very relatable as a woman watching the show, because, like, fuck, man, I've given a blowjob I didn't want to give, but I gave it. Like, and it wasn't, like, because I was threatened or anything, but, like, it was more just because it was like, well, this will get this over with, and then I can just move on from this situation. I'd rather not be in this situation, but if I blow him, he'll leave me alone. So it was a very relatable moment for me, and I liked that because it was like, oh, I feel like I get where she is.
So the
yeah,
heroes and the boys are corporate endorsed or corporate owned, and basically have carte blanche to do whatever they want. They,
mm-hmm,
they gets covered up. They get to abuse their power.
The very beginning is our hero, Huey, and his girlfriend talking, and she steps off a curb, and the guy with super speed runs through her.
A-train.
And explodes,
mm-hmm,
her.
Yeah.
Like.
And so, again, expecting that to happen, like, I was still a little bit like, oh, red mist.
Yeah.
Those are teeth.
Well, and
oh
he's,
my God, this
and
is
he's holding her severed
hands. Yeah.
Because that's left.
Yeah, the severed hands are like, oh, yeah, that'd probably freak me out for life.
But it sets the tone for this is going to be a very violent and shocking show.
It yes, certainly does. Mm-hmm. And so Huey's approached by Butcher, who is assembling a team of the boys to
I'm putting a team together.
To keep the heroes in check, to spank them when they step out of line.
To watch the Watchmen, as
it
were.
Oh, I get it.
One of the updates I liked about this, about the TV show, is that the boys are started by the CIA in the comic book in retaliation to the Supes screwing up 9/11.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's great.
It's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
The whole, because this was 2006 when it came out. Mm-hmm. In the comics. So yeah, it's the Supes accidentally end up destroying the Brooklyn Bridge instead of the World Trade Center, and that is like the memorial in New York is like the Brooklyn Bridge.
And then no one knows. The boys, and the boys are there to keep the Supes in check. This does that a little bit differently. I liked what they did with the show. They still kind of did the airplane jacking, and they screw that up.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the reasoning for the boys getting together and everyone's passion for that group already existed before the story started.
Right.
Before that happened.
In the show?
In the show.
Yeah.
I liked what they did.
I liked it because it was, they made it like, they make these references to their previous boss and how things went down and it was bad. Mm-hmm. But you don't really find out what went down and why it was bad and how it got screwed up until really later in the show, like much later, almost mm-hmm. the end. And so it's just kind of this, I like when stories, the world building is something you have to figure out as you go by paying attention to dialogue and not just like, well, back when we were all together as a squad, when we worked for the CIA and things went south, I don't trust you now. Like,
you get breadcrumbs and it gets revealed slowly. It's not lazy exposition.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that while taking advantage of and indulging in the superhero adaptation craze, it is also incredibly critical of the capitalist cash-in of superheroes mm-hmm. and how all the heroes are incredibly obsessed with how many points they're going to get on their own movie adaptation and who might be playing them and
where their merch is being sold, where their commercials are being put on,
how much they're losing personally due to piracy and that sort of thing.
Yep.
Like it's very funny and kind of fourth wall breaking, sort of.
And we get to see it through the eyes of Starlight, who is, you know, a dewy-eyed, like, true believer.
Right.
Who believes that they're all just doing good and saving people and that the movies are all true and that everything that she's been told is true. And then she gets there and it's like, oh, shit. Like, none of this was true. How much was any of it true? And she's getting... So, like, we as the audience, like, our cynicism is her cynicism and it just gets deeper as she learns more.
Yeah.
That's...
Huey is how we are introduced to the boys as a naive, you know, he doesn't know about this world, and that's how he figures all this stuff out.
Yeah.
And Starlight is how we are brought into the other side of it.
And Huey also has that thing where it's like, you know, you don't stand up for anything. You're afraid of everything.
Yeah.
You're afraid to ask for a promotion. You're afraid to quit your job. You're afraid to stand up to your dad.
You're afraid to let go of your dead girlfriend's hands.
You're afraid to let go of your dead girlfriend's hands. But also, like, you're afraid to, like, do anything about that. Afraid to go to her funeral. Like,
Before she dies, that's kind of the point she's
afraid
making to him.
Afraid to ask her.
He's afraid to ask for a raise.
Yep. And so it's like...
He's a timid guy.
And so his timidity is, you know, slowly chipped away at by Butcher and the boys' relentless like tick tock, like you are thrust into a shitty situation, you gotta figure the fuck, like you gotta, I hate to say man up, but that's kind of what it is. And with her, it's like it's not her timidity, but her naivete is chipped away, you know, bit by bit.
They're both themes from the comic that I'm glad they kept. In the comic, again, not to keep talking about
the comparisons are good.
It's worth mentioning that it's a fun little Easter egg. The character Huey, or Wee Huey, as he's called in the comics, is drawn after Simon Pegg.
Oh, and then Simon Pegg plays his dad.
Right.
Yeah.
Wee Huey is Scottish.
That's great.
He's Scottish in the show. He's a Scot living in America, or who goes to America.
Okay.
But, so Simon Pegg plays Huey's father, but the character, like, if you look at the page, it's fucking Simon Pegg.
So, okay, who was your favorite of the seven? Good, like love to hate or hate to love, either way. And I will start while you think, because it's Homelander for me, because he is everything that I always thought Superman should be, in the sense that Superman's a fucking alien, and like we are so lucky that Superman was raised by the Kents and not by like Lex Luthor or someone else.
The actor, like, does a tremendous job going from smiling Captain America
like
type guy to like malice in his eyes with very little change in his expression. Yeah.
Don and I actually talked about, my girlfriend and I talked a lot about his casting and how perfect his was.
So perfect.
Because he's very handsome, great jawline, but he's got that little off smile when he just purses his lips right, or when, like, and it's just shows that little bit of,
and he's good at
unsettling.
He's got dead eyes when he wants to. He can do. He can do just dead eyes where you're like, oh shit! Like the way that, I don't know if you've ever, have you ever met a sociopath, but someone who you might think might even be a psychopath. Have you ever met someone who just has that disconnect of human emotion sometimes, and you're just like, oh no, like no one's there.
He does a really good job.
I was in the hospital.
Kind of alien, or being having this lack of humanity in him, despite being ultimately being human.
When they put that blanket on the bed, when they're doing the faked home story, and the blanket's on the bed, and he loses his fucking mind, and he starts having like basically a panic attack, and it's like, I mean, there's like a lot of little moments where you just, I don't know. So I like Homelander. For me, it's a love to hate to love Homelander
situation. And not to sympathize with the character, but, you know, like the way he was raised was fucking awful.
You're set up to sympathize with him a little bit at the end. I mean, you are. Like, he is a tragic character who's also a monster.
Yeah.
I like Queen Maeve quite a bit.
The Wonder Woman analog?
Yeah, she's Wonder Woman with martinis. Yeah. I think...
I like your martinis, too. I made boobs in front of my chest with my hands.
They did a good job.
It's good radio.
Bringing her from the comic to the screen, and, like, the armor and everything looks great. The fact that she is, like, complicit in everything Homelander is doing, yet... like, ultimately not as bad as him.
She's also kind of trapped by him.
Yes.
Like, I mean,
she's like an abused ex. The first interaction between her and Starlight is when Starlight is, like, throwing up after the blowjob, and she's like, ugh, you're embarrassing yourself. Kind of a, like you can't let them, like, if you're going to be the other woman on the team, you can't. Like,
we all have to get blowjobs sometimes. Don't be a baby. That's what it felt like, though. Felt like, don't be such a bitch about it. You're in the big times now.
Yeah. And but then the airplane scene with her and Homelander, like, shit is very different.
Yeah.
All of a sudden. So I liked her quite a bit. She had a good amount of range and an interesting character arc.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the Deep. Totally going to white guy this for a minute, and I apologize ahead of time. But, like, he goes from being the asshole.
Yeah.
The asshole.
Yes. Number one villain.
Like, and
cocky
then,
prick.
And then having consequences for his actions and kind of trying to redeem himself and fucking that up. And then, like...
The dolphin.
And the dolphin. But then the sex scene
with
when
the
he
gills?
Moves to the new town. And, like, there are absolute consequences and he's getting punished.
Yeah.
And, like... You start to kind of feel bad for him, but then you remember, like, oh, you were a prick before, and you deserve all of this.
Yeah, and, like, and it's like he's got body image issues, and, like, he's, you know, he's, because, like, they all have to look so perfect, and it's not easy for him, but then, like, but then also the gills, and just,
Also, though, his little commercial that they released right when the show was coming out for soy sauce.
I don't think I saw that.
Yeah, Prime Amazon was putting it up on Facebook, and is a Japanese commercial, makes no sense, and it's amazing.
That's awesome. For soy sauce, which you use to eat fish.
That's so fucked up to
make him do that.
He's a complete asshole. He's not a good person, but he has an interesting character arc. He has some depth to him.
Tim?
Tim. He's kind of the worst, but I kind of like A-Train.
A-Train, dude, he is the worst, but, like, you feel bad for him, too. Like,
Because he's just so cute.
He's never won! Fastest man in the world!
And he's not going to be forever, and he's addicted to V, and that sucks, and that's complicated. But also, he's a fucking monster. Like...
When when he's like, I'm so sorry.
And all the shit between him and Popclaw.
When he goes through the girl and he's like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit.
Yeah. Can't stop.
I can't, I'm so sorry.
And then off he goes. And
I don't even think he says I'm sorry. That's right, because like, he doesn't apologize.
Like the shit with Popclaw, like he kills Popclaw. And then later when he's accusing Huey of killing Popclaw, you can see... the anger he has for himself.
Oh yeah, everything he's saying is about himself. Directed
at Huey, and it's so transparent to the audience.
Yeah,
but like, also you're like, oh dude, you are broken.
Yeah,
and breaking more.
Well, and like his brother, like like I mean, to some degree, abusing him by being like, you know, you got to be faster, 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 and like. But he's pushing like
supportive
him
and, coach type.
Yeah, but I feel like honestly, like any good sports coach is a little bit abusive. That's kind of how it works. Like they kind of have to make you push yourself in ways, or they have to like yell at you, you know, and you have to kind of, I don't know. All my track coaches always used to say, "You're gonna hate me just a little bit." Just a little bit, because I'm going to make you do shit when you don't want to do it, you know? Like,
yeah, resentment.
A little bit of resentment, sure. Yeah.
But ultimately, like, he's trying to get him off the V and get him to do it the right way and all that stuff.
You know, and I really liked the scene in the sports shop later in the season where they address a little bit of the racism. Like, that was, as a white person, the right amount of racism to put into the show.
It's shown as a bad thing, you know, despicable behavior.
Not a thing that happens.
It's addressed as a negative thing. It's not like Cartman in South Park where it's like, haha, it's funny because he's racist, even though we know he's the person we're not supposed to emulate. Yeah. It's like, oh, look at this bad thing that's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is gory and violent.
Well, I mean, dude, within the first 5 minutes of the show,
yeah,
we have somebody explode.
Yeah,
there's more of that.
Has a bomb shoved up their ass and then detonated.
So we posted this meme on the Geek.God page. So maybe if you hadn't watched The Boys yet, you wouldn't know what it is. But it's Butcher, and it's in the headline of it says, "If there's an afterlife and I get there and meet God," and it's him going, well, if it ain't the invisible cunt," which is like when the invisible guy, whose name I can't think of right now,
Translucent.
When Translucent shows up in Huey's, you know, electronic shop. And I just, that line was so great. That was one of those lines where I was like, okay, I'm so in for the show. Like, just, that was a very Garth Ennis line. Like, well, if it ain't the invisible cunt.
Calling people a cunt is like half of Garth Ennis's dialogue.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. But only, usually guys.
Yeah, no,
British guys. Sure. Like, that's, it's usually. It was very...
He himself is a UK...
Right, right.
Yeah, I wonder where that came from.
He's Scot.
It's very... I don't know. I just... It makes me... It's a meme that makes me giggle just thinking about it. Just because, like, me in heaven being like, oh, this is God. Well. Yeah. That ain't the invisible cunt. You got a lot to answer for.
So, before we move to, like, five questions or anything, the hook for season two...
Oh, yeah.
Like, what are you looking forward to in the next season? Because we're getting more.
I want to see Milky Man and Frenchie's backstory.
Mother's Milk?
Mother's Milk, sorry.
Yeah. Milky Man. That's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
I think they call him that. Anyway. I want to see more happen with the foreign... soups that they created.
Yeah, the terrorist
soups. The terrorist soups.
Yeah, which is a good analog from the comic book as well.
Yeah,
I'm very excited to hear what the fuck Butcher's wife has to say for herself.
Yeah.
We are all excited for that.
And when Homelander's response to finding all that out, too, is going to be
about himself,
Yeah, and I really am looking forward to them doing more with the female, which...
The woman?
Her name in the comic is the female. That's how she's addressed in the comic.
The female of the species.
You always told me it was the woman. Like, the whole time we watched the show.
I don't think so.
Okay.
Maybe, but I was wrong.
Or you didn't, you were wrong.
Yeah.
She has a name in the show.
They do figure out who she is originally in the show, which is...
She's the girl that's with Frenchie, though, the one they find in the box whatever. Yeah.
She is... interesting in the... She's more interesting in the comic. I hope they make her more interesting in the show.
Yeah,
I they have an opportunity to do so. I hope they take it up. Molly, what do you?
I said mine.
The wife.
Butcher's wife shit. Sure. I think that's huge, and his kid, and like, I think it's a really big deal because it's a key part of why he does what he does, and his whole like MO is like because they killed my wife. Because Homelander raped my wife and killed her. Because they got rid of my wife after they raped her, and they were gonna try to, they were silencing her, and that's the only reason he does what he does. So if that's taken away, what is Butcher? Mm-hmm. And why is Butcher? And how is Butcher?
And when
is
Butcher? I think in the comic, Butcher is under the impression that she has killed herself.
He thinks
Of the rape, isn't it?
No.
He thinks they disappeared her because she was
in the show.
In the show,
he thinks they disappeared her. In the comic book, it is way different.
What does he think in the comic book?
He knows because he's there when it happens. Oh. Do you want me to talk about this?
Oh, the baby, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
What happens in the comic?
You know, in the nursery when he picks up that baby that has the laser eyes?
Yeah.
That is basically what bursts through her body.
A couple days after she's raped.
Oh, right. Okay.
And she dies, and then beats the baby to death.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
A little bit different.
No, that's very Garth Ennis, though.
It is.
That's I don't want to say tropey because it's not that common, but that's a thing. Like, you know, if you get impregnated by Superman, right? Like, does that baby not, at its first kick its way right out of your body?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Tim, is there anything you're particularly...
Well, I was going to say the I want to see more with the female character.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there wasn't very much there. You know, and I feel like there's more coming.
Also, I think the show was just really well shot.
Oh, yeah.
The scenes,
the costumes are incredible.
It's framed well. It's really beautiful.
Good sets.
Good sound.
Elizabeth Banks is great. Like, in her weird, like tightly wound corporate self.
Do you mean Elizabeth Shue?
Elizabeth Shue.
It is Elizabeth Shue. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Oh, good. Because I'm like, I don't
They
remember.
Look alike, though, right?
I don't remember.
I'm not crazy. They look alike.
I think they both have the name Elizabeth.
Are they both? But they're both like blonde white women, right? Like, I'm not wrong about that.
Not, no.
So,
okay, I am not crazy. They look a lot alike. That's Elizabeth Banks, FYI.
But there was one other thing you wanted to bring up. Nate.
Yeah. There was a really weird scene in the show. It was the end of the seventh episode. Like, for a show that had really good continuity, really good pacing, really good storytelling, at the end of the seventh episode, Starlight gets shot, and she's invulnerable.
Right.
And the next time her and Huey end up meeting, like, they don't talk about her getting shot. They don't talk about his friend trying to kill her. Mm. They don't address that at all, and it was super weird.
I think maybe it's because there wasn't ever really a risk of him killing her. It was like tasing someone for a superhero is kind of how I...
Okay.
But yeah, it isn't... He's not mad about it. It's not really a thing that they're upset about.
Yeah.
I know that... For season two, what's the name of the actress who plays the redhead in You're the Worst, I think?
I don't know her
name.
Excuse me.
Frick. I can't remember. Aya Cash. I don't know. I can't remember. She has been cast as the fucking Nazi super soldier guy from the comic. She's playing him.
Oh, cool. That is another thing I really liked about the show was a lot of the, like, major characters.
They look alike.
Not in the teams themselves, but, like, they're switched over to female.
A couple. Yeah.
And it's built into the story on several of them.
Yeah.
I really like
it. I dug it.
Also, if you feel like you liked Huey's girlfriend and didn't get to see enough of her, by all means, watch Letterkenny, because she's one of the two female hockey players that chirps back and forth. She plays Betty Ann, and she has some devastating chirps.
Like,
that's
great.
They are fan-fucking-tastic.
Yeah.
She's a really good actress. I like her a lot.
And the most recent season of Letterkenny just recently dropped. So
it did.
I hope we get to see some G-Men. That would be cool.
Yeah.
The X-Men analog, who are
Oh, that's funny.
There's like 50 different G-Men teams. There's the kids version called G-Wiz, and there's they're like setting up franchises.
Please tell me one of them is G-String, because I would have. That's who would be my stringers. Like, that's who would be my like in the field, like wetworks guys, like would be G-String.
I do not want to see Tech Knight fucking an asteroid.
I'd be good without Tech Knight fucking all the shit that he fucks.
All the saints.
They could just do without that B-plot with the brain tumor, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Molly?
Yes?
Who do we have questions from?
We have five questions from Drew Johnson. Nate. And Nate's going to answer them with us.
Yeah, we're going to all answer these questions.
All right. So, question number one. How often do you get rid of old geek things?
Oh, kind of never.
Yeah, I've seen your house. Like, you're in the house you're going to die in. I don't mean that to sound like aggressive.
But she does mean soon.
But no, I mean, like, we're in your forever house.
It's not hoarder level, but stuff gets put into bins and probably should just get thrown away. But I keep thinking, well, I might want that someday.
There's a bin that's been in your basement office where we normally record that's been sitting on the floor. That is the 2013 Geek Trivia, Team Trivia stuff. So it's been sitting there.
Well, they reuse some of that
stuff. Yeah, but that's actually Pat's bin. So I'm still saying
that's a 6-year-old bin for a contest that hasn't happened for 3 years.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not going anywhere.
It's actually all of the books from the Geek Trivia Contest from the beginning.
Yep.
So it's an archive.
Exactly.
Sure.
But I don't know where to put it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What about you?
I don't. I haven't, at least intentionally, but hopefully this will have happened by the time this comes out, and he won't have heard it. My mom is giving me all my Dino Riders.
Whoa. Oh, shit!
And those are going to go to Matt Kesson.
Hey,
that's great. That's
perfect. So they're just going to go
perfect.
Them.
That's, my dad gave me a whole bunch of my old Star Wars toys from when I was a kid, and I gave them to my nephew, who was like four at the time.
Yeah.
And so every once in a while I get pictures of my nephew like flying around my old like 1981 Millennium Falcon toy that's like missing some parts and stuff. It's fucking nice. I keep it in the family.
I get rid of old geek things all the fucking time. One of my grandmas is a hoarder, like a legit OCD's like disability hoarder, and my mom has the other kind of OCD where she cleans all the time. And I don't know. We didn't move a lot, but I just can't. I don't want to say like if it sparks joy, because I don't do that Marie Kondo thing, but for real, if I open up a box and I'm like, oh, wow, I haven't thought about this stuff in years, that's my first note of like, okay, you haven't thought about it in years and you haven't missed it.
You're very like, selectively and seldomly sentimental about things.
Yeah. But I do keep stuff like, one of the nice things about having a camera phone is like my mom gave me all of my old track and cross country medals and plaques and ribbons. And it was a grocery bag full of ribbons and plaques and medals. And I took pictures of the ones that I cared about and I just threw the rest away because they're trashed. I mean, they're just, yeah.
My dad used to buy baseball cards as an investment and like vacuum zip them up into bags and stuff, and he still has them all, and that's,
and he's a millionaire.
right. So every once in a while as a gift, my dad will be super sweet and buy me like really old comic or new in the box, unopened, itchy and scratchy TV playset from The Simpsons or things like that.
Yeah.
And that I have that I've started to make a list of to put on eBay because I need to get rid of some shit because I don't do it often enough.
Yeah.
But I did just get rid of like 8 shirt boxes of comics.
That's true.
I actually did forget. I did give all of my comic books to Jeff Nebel.
Yeah.
Including Deadpool's first appearance.
Take that, Stacey.
Ooh. Ooh.
But that happened a long time ago, and it was just because I kept on carrying them around and carrying
them. Yeah,
around. So we have this thing at FFG, A&N, and Asmodee that is, both offices have it, and it's called the free table. And it is a white melanin table that is just in the break room, and you can put whatever you want on it, and anybody who wants it can take it away. So there have had to be some stern emails about what can be on the free table after someone put a car battery on there. But but a lot of, you know, you put a lot of people, I'll put a lot of geek stuff there. Like,
yeah,
I had a sign, I had a signed picture of David Tennant. No, he didn't sign it for me. I bought like an autographed David Tennant photo that I had for like 15 years, and I was like, nah, and I put that on the free table. You know, it's, you know, Legos,
a commemorative coin.
Yeah, board games. That commemorative coin went to someone who collects commemorative coins. Yeah. And he was very excited. See? Just by the way.
Made some mistake.
All right, question two. Yeah. How do you get news in 2019?
I go to several different sites first thing in the morning.
What do you go to?
I try to start with BBC.
Okay.
And then I'll go to NPR, and then I'll hit up Yahoo and just kind of scroll quickly.
I'm sorry, I said in 2019.
Yep, I got it. and there, for some odd reason, I've cultured my Yahoo news feed to be like some really shitty right-wing stuff. Just so I can see what they're saying.
Yeah, just give them those ad clicks.
No, I don't click on it. I just want to see, like, that's a dumb headline from Fox News. Yeah, good. Yeah. And then, and click through the entertainment, and somehow that has now picked up on my K-pop fandom.
Hey, nice.
So now I get news about BTS from Yahoo.
And you go, Yahoo!
Yeah. 91.1 KNOW NPR. I listen to either that or audiobooks in the car.
Yep.
Sometimes when I'm having breakfast, I'll pop it up on my phone while I'm doing my journal and stuff, and I'll have NPR going, or if I'm going for a walk. And then Washington Post, if you just put your browser into anonymous mode, you can get by their little pop-up paywall thing.
Which is super funny because I subscribed to the Washington Post, and you could probably just have my Amazon login.
Okay.
And this is how we found out.
Yeah. And sometimes on Reddit, I'll switch over to the tab that is not all, but... popular or like current event type feed kind of, and our politics gets posted there a lot. And it's, what's very interesting about that is that though it does tend to lean left, people will do a post there on our politics that is, like a long page long thing recapping a single news story, linking and citing every single source for everything they say in a recap. And it's fairly objectively reviewing what everyone is saying about something that's happening. It's been really nice for Trump shit.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Tim?
I go to CNN a lot. Just
big news.
Because I like the way they write.
Sure.
And NPR... online. I don't tend to listen to them on the radio, but I do go read read articles online. I will Daily Show.
Oh yeah.
Last Week Tonight.
They actually are really good sources. I mean, as long as you go to like look at the stories that they're talking about.
Yeah.
Find the source. But they are a good starting point. And yeah, when people post articles like this, friend of the show Eric Knight, who posts all sorts of liberal stuff, what I will do is I will link through to the generally heavily liberal bias website, but it will always have a source, and so I tend to go and find the source to figure out what from the liberal skew, because yes, I am liberal biased, but I want to know what really happened versus the super...
less filter. One less
super,
filter.
The super left-wing spin on it, where it turns out often it may be just as bad as they're saying in a completely different way.
Recently, yes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's a tendency that I'll do. I'll go, oh, all right, well, this is a story I'm interested in, but now I want to go back and find the original source for this story so I can get as close to, quote, the truth as possible.
I check the Washington Post. I have a subscription, so I check that every day. That's just one of my It's when I'm bored, I'll just go look at it. Fun fact, the Washington Post has something that I think is really funny, which is two, max three word, maybe sometimes one word, little shortcuts at the top that often are they're misleading. So those, we play a game at work where I'll be like, all right, and I read them off, and we try to guess what they're going to be.
Here's an example. Like,
child murder. Child murder. That's about a child that intentionally set a fire and is being accused of five counts of murder.
Oh.
So you thought it was about a dead kid, and it was, but the kid did it. So there you go. There you go.
Joke's on you.
There was one time when it was like...
family.
It was about all these. It was about all these like bomb sniffing dogs that we send to Jordan, and how they're all being terribly mistreated and starved. And it was a horrible story, and I was very sad. And I was like, "No, don't read that." And then when I reloaded the page later, there was another two word phrase that was not the same, but it linked to the same goddamn story. And I got done a bamboozle, and I had to see starving dogs again. And I was very sad. But that Daily Show Last Week Tonight. I follow NPR on Facebook, so I see all of those articles. And
N
those,
or M.
MPR. Okay. I very much enjoy when I'm feeling salty or I've had a bad day and I just want to get in the comments and just go mock boomers in the MPR comments, and that's always a good time.
Boomers gonna boom.
Man, they're good sport. I mean, not they're good sports. I mean, like, they are good for sport, like for like taking down.
For hunting.
Yeah, like, for hunting.
Yeah.
I don't want to say I get my news from Facebook, but a lot of times that's where I'm seeing links, and mostly I'm involving those to debunk them, because I really enjoy, I think we all have a responsibility to debunk news we see on Facebook, to point out that it was published over a year ago, to point out that, you know, this actually is from healthnews.com.
No,
you know,
way.
Or like, you know, this, you know, or whatever else, like, because I think that, you know, I definitely live in an echo chamber, and that doesn't mean that people aren't smart or aren't, you know, making stupid choices sometimes.
Right.
But other than, also my mom.
Oh,
boy. Okay, so y'all, all my
She's
mom.
She's not a good source.
My mom watches. All my mom watches is MSNBC and CNN. Mm-hmm. All day long. She just had surgery, I've been spending
a lot. And reality TV.
And reality TV. But the reality TV is on demand, which is extra weird. But so, like, I've been spending a lot of time with her because she had surgery on her ankle. And so I'll be going over there probably tomorrow night, and we just sit and watch. Like, I was in the hospital with her for 15 hours just watching CNN, and it's just the same news every 10 minutes. It's just the same news. So that's and my mom tweets a lot of news also. She retweets a lot of news.
It's
so
rough.
All right, question 3. What do you watch that your partner actively dislikes?
You might be able to answer that about me better than I can.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I don't watch a lot of stuff without you. Like, there's like things I don't know. You watch like there's a lot of anime.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I actively dislike it, but I have no interest
it's
in
not
like,
your, like I unapologetically watch Dragon Ball
and JoJo and like and My Hero Academia.
Yep.
I'm not saying they're bad animes, but I have no interest. I have no interest
like
in them.
I like shonen trash.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I don't like it anymore, but I watch more reality shows than you. I can stand them more than you can.
Yeah.
But that's just mostly because I'm watching with my mom.
Yeah, you like murder trash sometimes.
Oh, fuck yeah, I love murder trash.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, I love watching anything about a serial killer. Like, I watched that thing about G. Rose Lee Blanchard.
That's the
and like The Act.
Munchausen by proxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like the Ted Bundy one, I watched that one. And like, I'll watch, yeah. So that's a good point. Yeah, I like to watch murder trash or cop procedurals.
Ugh.
And Nick doesn't like those at all.
Not since Homicide.
What about you two?
I totally Stockholm Syndrome Dawn into liking esports.
Oh.
So now she has a favorite Overwatch League team, which we may not be able to watch anymore, depending on how we feel about Blizzard after
But is there anything that you watched, maybe not actively dislikes, but that she won't watch with you? She'll go do something else.
I watch a lot of stand-up comics, and I will actively watch ones that are terrible to learn from their mistakes. So hopefully I don't make those mistakes during my comedy routines. And sometimes she's like, you need to turn that off. This is not good. Yeah, yeah. I don't want to hear this person or anyone talking about that.
Sure.
All right, so, all right.
And it, like, it's some bad stuff.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah. But, Tim, what does Pat not watch?
I've been thinking about this for a while because, I mean, we tend to... There tends to be more stuff she watches that I'm not into than...
I'll accept that as an answer if there's not the...
It's easier to answer this question the other way.
It totally is.
But for stuff that I like... I watched like all the Netflix Marvel series for when we do episodes about them.
She's not
into them.
Yeah, all right. That counts.
I guess that's the best answer I can give.
Would she watch The Boys with you, do you think?
Well, we're going to find out.
Yeah.
I watched it on my own and I'm going to
make her watch it with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck. What does she watch that you don't like?
She will watch, for a long time, she watched like police procedurals and I didn't get into them. I've gotten into a few of them, but there's still a lot that I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Does she still watch Big Bang Theory?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we both watched Big Bang Theory. Oh. We both liked Big Bang
Theory. Oh, I'm with Nick on this one. Oh.
Question four.
Question four. How do you give a pill to a cat?
You wrap the cat in a blanket and then force it in their mouth.
I ask the vet for an oral solution. Because most of the time they can give you one.
Is that the uncomfortable blowjob cotton?
It's the title of the first episode of The Boys. No, but usually they can give you a liquid suspension.
We're all cat people. All four of us are cat people in the house.
We had a cat that the only way you could get it, that you could give her a pill, was you had to wrap her in a blanket. It took two people because one person, she was strong.
Yeah.
One person had to hold onto the cat. The other person had to force the pill into her mouth, hold her mouth closed, and massage her chin until you felt her swallow.
Yeah.
Because if you did not feel her swallow, she would spit it out. And it sometimes took 5 minutes or longer to get that goddamn cat to swallow the pill.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was stubborn.
Oh, yeah. Nate's hand is covered in scratches and cat bites right now. Was that from trying to give a pill?
Actually, no. But that is... I generally just...
That was because you were watching bad stand-up and he just couldn't take it.
They were talking about cats. They didn't think it was funny. I honestly, last time I had to do it, my cat was a super good sport and just took the pill.
Peaches is super easy as a dog. She's super easy to give pills to.
Yeah, she's
like
dumb.
She doesn't even care. She's like, cool, I love pills. Like,
I mean, streets.
No, yeah. The first cat we had, we had to give him. He had anxiety, so we had to give him a pill for the
that
anxiety.
Sounds like it helped. Oh, no. Hold you down and shove this.
No,
anxiety.
He fucking loved it.
Oh yeah.
We would shake the pill bottle and he would come running.
That's
the room.
Awesome.
He'd be like, sweet, the happy pill. Let's do it.
Like, genuinely, I can't remember. I don't think we've ever had to give the cats a pill. Because I've always been like, is there liquid suspension? And they're like, oh, sure, it might be more expensive. And I'm like,
it's
cool.
So much easier.
I don't care. To squirt.
Just right down
their throat.
I recently had my hand cut to shit by putting it in between two cats that were fighting. Holding down the one that still has her front claws. And then she bit into my hand. And then the next day I was like, I'm going to bathe my other cat who put his head into something and now smells like shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've already wounded a hand.
Right?
It's fine. We're just going to see. And he just took the bath.
Just docile.
Didn't fight at all.
Yep.
It's like, oh.
Contrary bastards.
Yeah.
Damn all cats.
Right. Question five. What crazy method gets rid of belly fat that might surprise us?
Surgery?
Ooh, that is a crazy method.
Or, that would surprise me.
Or having a baby.
You know, see, that would surprise me. That seems like a really weird way to have it happen. Yeah, anorexia does not do it the way you'd think.
Nope.
Actually, because especially if you are a uterus haver, there is a layer of fat that your body will hold on to. It will break down muscle before getting rid of that layer of fat, which is meant to shield and cushion just all of your organs there and to basically like protect from radiation and everything else. Like your body just like that little pooch of fat will be the last fucking, you will be like, there's no way I can go into the hospital for anorexia because I'm still have this pooch of fat. And they're like, your heart doesn't work anymore. And you're like, but the fat. And they're like, I'm 12% body fat.
You might be surprised to hear that you can make it look like you get rid of belly fat by just adding muscle.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And by building up the layers of muscle underneath the fat, especially, like, if you have boobs, like, fat, fatty boobs on a masculine frame that you don't want, you can build up your chest muscles, and that will stretch them out in a little way that spreads the fat out a little bit.
Yep.
If you if you're a type 2 diabetic and they prescribe metformin, one of the potential side effects is it's an appetite suppressant.
Because you don't want to eat, because whatever you eat, you're just going to shit.
Well, except that's not what no, I mean, literally, one of the potential side effects is just you don't have as much of an appetite.
I've been on metformin.
I'm on metformin, and I've got I don't usually get side effects to drugs, and yet that is a side effect that I actually experience, and it's actually handy.
Did you get cramps and stuff when you first went on it?
Nope.
Wow.
It's lucky. I don't get side effects.
Just the appetite suppressant.
Yeah. It's like Pat's the most unlucky person when it comes to side effects. Yeah. Read the side effects on the bottle. They will all happen. If you read the side effects on the bottle to me, I will say I have experienced none of those.
I will also say, if you are a man, what might surprise you is that pretty much any celebrity that you've ever seen take a photo of is either photoshopped, or if they're in clothes, they're wearing Spanx.
Right.
And that is a very secret to get rid of belly fat that I didn't realize. And was when someone asked me once, it was like, well, why aren't you just wearing Spanx? And I was like, is everyone else wearing Spanx? And it was like, yeah. I'm like, oh. Well, that explains that. Especially like performers. They were like, we're all wearing them. I'm like, oh. Okay, well, that would fix it.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
Who is that from?
Drew.
Thanks, Drew. If you want to send your 5 questions to us, we will answer them. Send them to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com.
It might take us as long as it took to answer these 5 questions.
Who knows?
He sent them in on September 4th.
That ain't bad.
Not that bad.
And if you are a Patreon supporter, we will bump them up to the top of the queue, or at least the top of the non-Patreon queue and the bottom of the Patreon queue. There's 2 lines. One's a priority line.
There's like a fast pass line at Disney and a not fast pass
line. It's like
When you go into the Fast Pass line, you're still behind all the other people that went into the Fast Pass line first.
It's the AMC Stubbs program line. You get your popcorn faster. That's all you need to know.
That's right.
You can, if you are a Patreon supporter and you throw us just a couple bucks a month, you can listen to all these episodes early.
And you bumped up to the end of the Fast Pass line.
That's right.
But you're still behind all those other fast passers.
That's also right. God, but that's not true with listening to the podcast early, because there is no line. It's digital. There's no scarcity. You can listen as many times as you want without depriving anyone else of the opportunity to listen early. It's magic. If you throw us $5 a month, we'll send you some stickers and stuff, or maybe a button if you want. It's cool.
Ooh, buttons.
Otherwise, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or reverse that. And leave us a rating. If you listen to us on iTunes or Stitcher or Google Play, or it's Apple Podcasts now, and I sound like an old person when I say iTunes, leave us a rating there. That'd be awesome. We'd appreciate it. Nate, thank you for coming back and being our guest again.
I'm glad to be here.
Despite having been a guest before and knowing better.
It's still fun.
If you have comments to say about The Boys, let us know. If you are going to go read The Boys comic after listening to what we had to say about it, goat speed. Good luck. You'll get there. It gets better. It doesn't get less homophobic. We've been Geeks Without God, and we'll have a new episode up next Tuesday, as always. Bye!
Bye!
Well, well, well. If it ain't the invisible cunt.
I shaved it.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Almost 400 podcasts, and we still do not know how to end it.